Okay, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 6 and 7 are two memory verses here, what we're going to be looking at this evening. And I want to just go through and do some explaining on those tonight and just look at that, and I think it can be of help to us. But let's just read them first or quote them. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. This past week on Thursday, as I was pondering and praying and asking God for wisdom as to what I should share for the evening message, as I was praying for a friend that has an illness, the Holy Spirit began to rebuke me for my not believing more confidently that God really cares. And he reminded me that God really loves my friend more than I do, and more than any other human does. And as I pondered the love of God, I realized even more how distorted my view of God's love really is. I knew that God loved us enough to die on the cross for us, but my view of his love for us as persons was twisted. Let me explain. We know God loved us so much that he came to this earth and he died on the cross to pay the debt of our sin. We all know that. We sang about that tonight. That when we think about the love of God, that's the first thing that comes into our mind. And I'm not underestimating that in the least. But we somewhat grasp the sacrificial love of God on Calvary. But however, I really believe that our understanding of God's love for us as a mother loves her children, or as a father loves his son, or as a husband loves his wife, or as a friend loves a dear friend. Sometimes we struggle in that area. I know I do. And we really believe that Jesus cares, but we struggle to believe that he cares about our pains and our heartaches and our burdens. And if we do not truly believe that God dearly loves us as a person, we will hesitate to trust him to care for us when we have a burden. And I think that's a lot of our problem. Why, when we're praying for each other and we're praying for our own burdens, that we tend to question God. We tend to wonder in our hearts, will God really answer this? Does God really care? Because somehow we put a distinction between God's love for us that came down on Calvary and God's love for me right now. God loves me and God loves you. And as a person, God loves us. And we worry instead of confidently leaving our cares in the hands of a loving God and believing that he really truly does care and know best. We talked about that this morning somewhat. I've chosen this text here tonight, one of the clearest passages of Scripture, I believe, on the topic of God caring for us. And as we look at this evening, Peter has just commanded young people to submit to the elders, verse number 5. He said there, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And then he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And with that kind of a context, Peter was fearful that there were people who were going to say, well, hang on, if I submit myself to one another, and if I let them lead me, if I do that, they're going to take advantage of me. And sometimes that does happen. And God says, when that happens, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. We're to cast our burdens on the Lord because God cares about us. And sometimes those burdens are not caused by other people. Sometimes the burdens are troubles of life. They're burdens. They're things that happen in life. And God says we're to cast our burdens upon him because he cares for us. And because he cares, we can know that God truly loves us. And so tonight I want us to take a look at several facts about God's love that I think can be of help to us. Number one fact is that God is love. God is love. And, you know, we know that. We read it over there in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. It says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. But what does that mean, God is love? Love actually exists because it's one of God's attributes. And if God didn't exist, love wouldn't exist. Nothing else would either. But God is love because of who God is. Love, that agape love, it's translated charity often in the Bible because it is a giving love. It is a love that has the other person's interest involved. They're more concerned about the others than they are themselves. It is a giving, sacrificial love to meet the needs of another or to bless another or to honor another. And such unselfish caring originated in God's very nature. That's where it started, in God's nature. God is love. That whole concept of being caring about someone else is God. That's where it started. It started with God. And God is love, and it's important for us to see that. And God loves like God loves this like no one else can possibly love us. There's no one else can love like that. And the only reason that we are able to love at all, now catch this, the only reason that you and I are able to love each other at all is because God gave us His image. He made us in His image. He made us in the image of God, and therefore we are able to love a little bit like God can love. But sadly, that was all marred when Adam and Eve fell into sin. And our ability to love like God was marred. And we're now naturally selfish instead of loving. And the biblical term love or agape really is the opposite of selfishness. Selfishness is I'm caring for myself. Agape love is I care about you. And I'm going to meet your needs in every way I possibly can. And God is agape love. God is a love of one who loves. He cares about others. And the Holy Spirit then can produce that love in Christians because God is love. You know, you read there in the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. The reason that the Spirit of God can produce love in us is because the Spirit of God is love. And He is able then to produce His qualities in us because of who He is. And God is love. He intrinsically has a caring heart to meet the needs of His children. Intrinsically. That means deep down in His nature. That's part of God's nature. Now, our nature is selfishness. God's nature is intrinsically loving, to meet the needs of another, to care about others. And God is a caring person because of who He is. And Calvary, and what Christ did on Calvary, assures us that God is, His love is continual, a continual love. You know, since God gave His love and His life for us, we surely can know that He will continue to love us. Now stop and think about this. There's a great verse in Romans 8:32. It says this, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Now what does that mean? He said if God gave His life for us, we can be sure He will give us everything else we need. He gave us the ultimate. He gave His life. He died on the cross to pay the debt of our sin, to take our penalty for all eternity. And if He did that, we can be positive He will always care for all of our other needs because that was the ultimate of our needs. All the other needs that we have are minor compared to that one. God loves you with all your scars and warts and failures. Just as the Father loved the prodigal son, so the Heavenly Father loves us and wants the very best for us. And it's important for us to see that God loves you and God loves me. And sometimes we feel like nobody loves me or nobody cares about me or nobody understands my problems. God does! God does, and God loves us. And we've got to grasp that God is love. And He cares about us. It's very important for us because we'll never truly cast our burdens on Him if we don't really believe He cares. You stop and think about it. Who is it that you will ever pour out your heart to? That'll open up your heart and really unload your heart to another person. The only time you will ever do that is if you are absolutely positive that person loves you and you can trust them completely. That's God. And we've got to believe that God is that kind of a being so that we can fully trust Him and we can pour out our heart to Him and say, God, these are my problems and I need your help. And He's saying, yes, thank you. Come to me. I am happy to help you because I love you. I love you. God is love. The second fact I want us to see here is that God's love is consistent with His character. He fully exhibits all the love He expects us to give. You know, anytime you find a place in the Scriptures that tell us how to love, God has already done that. That is what He is. That's why when we turn over there to 1 Corinthians 13 and you look at that passage that is the love chapter of the Bible and you begin reading in verse number 4 and it says charity. Well, I'm going to change the word charity to love because it's the word agape there. Love suffers long. It means it's patient. He says love is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself. In other words, it doesn't boast. Love is not puffed up. It's not arrogant. Love does not behave itself unseemly. In other words, it's not rude. It's not unkind. Love seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, particularly of others. Love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, God tells us that's how we're to love. And yet, God could not possibly tell us to love others like that if that's not how He loves. God fulfills all that perfectly. He's a perfect example of all these things in love. God's love is absolutely sincere. We read over in Romans chapter 12, verse 9, He says, let love be without dissimulation. Dissimulation is hypocrisy. He said, don't let love have any hypocrisy in it. You know, we do that sometimes. We'll tell somebody we love them, but deep down inside there's, yeah, I sort of do, but I sort of don't. That's hypocrisy. God says there's no hypocrisy with Him. When He says, I love you, He means it. He loves us. In every way, He is absolutely sincere about His love. God always does what is best for us. Romans chapter 13, verse 10, it says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. What does that mean? If we truly love, we will not do anything harmful to the person we love. And therefore, God always does what is absolutely best for us. Because if He did anything less than the best for us, it would not be love. He's saying, I will do exactly what is best for you because I love you. And so when something happens in our lives, something comes up in our lives and we just say, I don't get it, I don't understand. Just like I mentioned this morning with the Apostle Paul. When the Apostle Paul came to God and said, would you please take away my thorn in the flesh? And God said, no. And Paul could have said, God, where's your love? But instead Paul said, I understand. And he accepted the love of God. And he accepted the fact. And he said, I will glory in my infirmities then. Because I know that's what is best for me, because God loves me. When a God allows sickness or an accident or a burden or death of a loved one, He lovingly sees the big picture and knows what is best all the way around. We can't see the whole picture. We can't see, you know, when a small child dies and we think, how tragic, why would God do that? And the poor parents are just brokenhearted over that. And yet God sees the whole picture. That child may have grown up to run into all kinds of problems or heartaches or burdens that would have been very discouraging and frustrating and heartbreaking for the family. But God saw fit to take them home early. We can't see the whole picture. God sees everything. And it's important for us to remember that. God loves as a mother does because He knows best in every situation. You know, a mother loves a child and says, no, you cannot do this, or this is what I've got to do, or I've got to put this medicine on you because I love you. And the child says, no, I don't want it because it hurts. But mom knows best because mom loves him. Now knows that that's going to help. And God does the same for us. God always exhibits love to us. God always loves us or gives us the benefits he offers in every situation. God loves us. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 14 says, let all things be done with love or charity. God says everything we do needs to be guided by love. It would be inconsistent for God to demand us that we do all things in love if God didn't do all things in love. God loves us. And the things that he does, the things that he allows, the things that he brings into our lives, the things that he allows in our lives are because he loves us. When our boys were young, they sometimes disobeyed. You know, we didn't like the fact that they disobeyed, but we still loved them. And just because they disobeyed doesn't mean we'd stop loving them. And same thing is true with God. You know, sometimes the devil wants us to look at our life and say, but God doesn't love me anymore because look at what he's doing to me. God doesn't love me because I did this or that happened or I shouldn't have done it. And now God doesn't love me. God still loves us. Even if we've made a mess of things, God still loves us. Doesn't mean he stops loving us. He doesn't appreciate and love what we did, maybe. But God loves us. God still loves us. And we must never forget that God cares for us deeply. It's very important that we understand it and never forget that. So, God is love. Secondly, God's love is consistent with his character. Number three, God loves us beyond measure. God loves us beyond measure. He loves us more than we can possibly comprehend. The Apostle Paul wrote of this in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19 when he said, and we know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that it might be fulfilled with all the fullness of God. Now, he says here that he loves us with a love that passes knowledge. Scientists tell us that 90% of an iceberg is below the surface and out of sight. And I think that's a good picture of God's love. When Paul says here, God's love passes knowledge. We can only see a tiny bit of God's love. The vast amount of God's love we don't understand. We can't see it yet. It's buried beyond our sight. God loves us. And his love is far greater than we can possibly comprehend. I like the words of a song that's not in any of our hymn books, written by Frederick Lehmann. One of the lines in the song says, could we with ink the ocean fill, and word the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. God's love is far beyond what we can comprehend. God will never stop loving us. God wrote through Jeremiah to the people of Israel, and he said there in Jeremiah 31 verse 3, he says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. God says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. And if God loved Israel with an everlasting love, we can be sure that God loves us with an everlasting love. His love will never die. It'll never end. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecutions or famines or nakedness or peril or swords? A couple of verses later, he says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, he's not talking about just the love of God that sent him to Calvary. He's talking about God's love for us right now. Because the love on Calvary was a one-time event. But now he says that nothing can separate us from God's love. He's talking about the fact that God loves you and God loves me. And nothing can separate us from that. God is always going to love us. Philip P. Bliss wrote the words to that song we sang this evening, Jesus Loves Even Me. One of the lines says, though I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me and wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee when I remember that Jesus loves me. We need to remember that Jesus loves us. God loves you beyond measure. When you begin feeling like no one cares or no one understands, God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. We've got to remember that. Then the fourth fact about God's love that I want us to see here tonight is that God loves us more than a parent or a dear friend could possibly love us. His love is beyond maternal love. Animals care for the young instinctively. We see that every spring. You walk through the parks in the springtime, you got to be careful because of the magpies. You get too close to their nest, those magpies come down with a vicious dive and they'll peck you right in the head. And sometimes even dive for your eyes and try to get your eyes. Why are they doing that? They're doing that instinctively to protect their babies. Don't you come near my nest. And God puts that kind of an instinct in most of the animals during their mating season and their time when their little ones are with them. And God created in man and woman in his image, and he put within the human mother agape type of a love for their children. A love that will sacrifice for their children. And that is one of the strongest examples of love that we can see among us as humans. Is the natural love that a mother has for that little infant that she just gave birth to. And yet, we read in Isaiah chapter 49 verses 15 and 16, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. God says, I will never forget you. He says, a mother could, under dire circumstances. I mean, you read those tragic stories in the scriptures where they're in Samaria. They were starving to death. And the mothers were eating their own children. You think, how could you possibly do that? They were starving to death. And God says here, though a mother could possibly turn their back on their child, God says, I would never do that to you. I love you, and I will never stop loving you. In love, the Lord's disciples saw the discipline of God, and we've seen that different times, where God disciplines us when we do wrong. We read over in Hebrews chapter 12, and verse number 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Sometimes we think, discipline's not very loving, but it is. Because parents that don't discipline their children, it breaks your heart. You see those children grow up never knowing that they have to obey rules, never knowing that they have to do right. And they get into adulthood and they don't like following rules and they don't like doing what they're told and they don't like doing, and they get in all kinds of trouble with the law. They get in trouble with their employers. They get in trouble with everybody else because they don't want to do what they're supposed to do because they never learned that they have to do what's right. The loving thing is to teach them and discipline them. And that is what God wants us to do. Jesus was a perfect example of love. We saw that demonstrated throughout his life and his ministry. If you think about Jesus' love, one of the examples of that was with his friends in Bethany. And it says in John 11, verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. That's a pretty special verse, because there's not very many verses in the New Testament that actually says that Jesus loved someone individually. But he did. We find also that John the Apostle was called the beloved disciple. I often wonder why. Don't know we'll ever find out this time this side of heaven, but he was the youngest of the disciples. Perhaps that was one of the reasons. But he was very close to Jesus. And of all the disciples, he was the one that was actually called the beloved disciple, the one that Jesus really loved, his dearest friend. We read there in John 13, verse 23, "Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved." We're talking about John himself. Jesus loved him. Now, I think Jesus loved all of his disciples, but there was a close bond there with John. And Jesus loved his disciples in many practical ways. And that's why he was able to say in John 13:34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." So love one another. Jesus said, "Just like you've seen me love you." They didn't sit back and say, "What's he talking about? Did he love us? What did he do to show us?" They knew he loved them. They saw the actions. Now remember, love is an action. They saw Jesus love them, and they knew. And so he said, "Just as I've loved you, you need to love one another." So once again, we see that God loves you more than any other being will ever love you or ever has loved you. God loves you. And my friend, God loves you with the greatest love possible, a love that you cannot fully comprehend. And it's important for us to see that. God doesn't just love us enough to die on the cross for us. He loves us now. He loves you. He loves you, and he loves to take care of you and meet your needs. And that's why he tells us in our text that we are to cast all our care upon him, for he cares for you. And if we truly believe that God loves us, we will be able to cast our cares on God. You can come to God with your most intimate burdens, the most tender things that you wouldn't share with anyone in the world, but you can share it with him because you know God loves me. God cares. God understands. And we can share our hearts with God in full. One verse I want us to conclude on tonight is in Jude chapter 1, verse 21. It says, "Keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." We're to keep ourselves in the love of God. Now, what does that mean? To keep ourselves in the love of God. I believe it means to keep realizing God loves me. And I can depend upon God because God loves me. And that is precious. We need to keep ourselves in the love of God. Keep close to the love of God. And no matter what trial he may allow into your life, no one cares for you like Jesus. No one cares for you like Jesus.